is for all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. And this shall be a sign unto you, shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. And suddenly there were with the angel a multitude of heavenly hosts, praising God and saying, Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. And it came to pass as the angels were gone away from them into heaven, the shepherds said one to another, Let us now go even unto Bethlehem and see this thing which has come to pass, which the Lord had made known unto us. Let's pray. Lord, we love you. Thank you again for your blessing upon us, Lord. And thank you, Lord, for what you've done today, this weekend. Father, we ask if you would help us for the next few moments just to focus on the word. Lord, the message that you've laid upon our heart for this time and this hour and this group of people. Lord, we just pray that you'd be honored and glorified, or remove us out of the way. I pray if there's one here today that's never come to a saving knowledge of you, that you convict them of their need for salvation. Lord, be with the Christian who needs encouragement today. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you. You may be seated. I do a lot of reading. In particular, a lot of times at night when I'm winding down for the day, trying to really gather our thoughts, or maybe sometimes even reflect on the day. And I read something even last night that really convicted me, or gave me a thought, or actually it may have been this morning. Got up this morning reading some more. But I was thinking about that, and you know, we're going to get into this in a second. Really what we're looking at this morning, church, is the thought is, what's missing out of the nativity? What is missing out of the nativity? A lot of times we see what is there. But as we said, sometimes we can be convicted or challenged and stirred up by what's not there. Amen? And so we'll get into that in a second. But the thought that I had read that I want to share with you was simply someone talking about their children and a personal conviction that God had put in their life, in their heart, after they realized something. The point was that every single morning when they wake up, and even at nighttime before they go to bed, and you parents have been there, you parents have done this, you parents have experienced this, they'll say to their kids, make sure that you brush your teeth. How many parents ever said that before? I know there's more parents than have had to remind their kids to brush their teeth. Right? So you help them, remind them to brush their teeth, because obviously you don't want their teeth to rot. But you know what was the convicting thought is that this person who wrote that said in the same breath that while I always make sure to remind them to brush their teeth, I have not made sure to remind them to read their Bible, to get into the Word. And you know what happens oftentimes is that we're more concerned about things of having tooth decay instead of worried about having truth decay. Right. Did you catch that, church? Oftentimes we're more concerned about having tooth decay and things that we know must be done and addressed, but we don't worry about having truth decay. Right. And it's just a matter of perspective, because what was missing in her routine and her point was, if I'm encouraging my children to take care of their personal hygiene, I should be encouraging my children to take care of their spiritual needs. And the reality is, church, every single one of us here today has a spiritual need on a daily basis. Every single one of us here today needs to be in the Word of God. And if that's something that is not part of our routine, can I tell you, friend, that that is missing from our spiritual walk with God? That should be there. Now, as we start to think about that, there's other things that we could talk about and focus on. You know, when we get to that line of thinking, you know, everybody has two eyes but different views, right? And so we have different viewpoints on what's important. And as she was talking about that, it really convicted me about other things that, you know, sometimes moms and dads, we're so proud of our kids because they go to college, because they have an accomplishment in school, but yet we're not as proud of them when they read the Word of God all the way through. We're proud of our kids because they have a good job or a good career, but we're not proud of our kids, or we don't put as much emphasis on things of the Bible. Isn't it interesting how we spend a lot of our times emphasizing, hey, you got to have a good job, you got to do this, but not, hey, let's be faithful to the house of God. Let's make sure that we don't miss that aspect of our life, which is essentially the most aspect of our lives. And then we sit back and wonder why our kids end up in a mess. And we sit back and wonder why they live troubled lives. And, you know, oftentimes we go from this perspective. And in fact, I think I shared this the other day, that when our kids are young, it's like we as preachers and church leaders beg and practically encourage and beg you to bring your kids to church. And then when they grow up, you beg me to encourage them to go to church. See, friends, sometimes we have the wrong perspective on things. Sometimes there's some things missing. We're doing some things good in the way that we live our lives and the way that we are raising our kids, but oftentimes we're missing the most important thing. What we read in the scripture here, and generally when we read this particular text, we see what's there. But I'm a little bit concerned about what's not there. Now, the first character that we're looking at, or the type of people that we're looking at today that's not there, if you read there back in verse number 1, and it came to pass in those days there went out a decree from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be taxed. And this taxing was first made when Cyrenius was governor of Syria, verse 3, and all went to be taxed, every one into his own city. Now, when we're talking about not there, the reference that I'm just making is the place of worship for our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Everyone that we read in this story had a unique opportunity to go by and visit the Lord. Everybody that we read about could have made an effort to go by and worship Christ. Everybody that we're reading about could have went by and offered a gift of their own for a Savior that was born to deliver the world. So those are the ones that I'm talking about that we're missing. And what we just read about, those that are often missing from that place of worship, from that place of dedication, from that place of commitment to the Lord Jesus Christ, are those who are focused on their own agenda. If you see what Caesar Augustus said and did, his decree was, and his priority and his agenda was, it's tax time. It's time to collect the taxes. It's time for me to take in. And I'm not even saying that taxes are wrong. In fact, the Bible says that you should render unto Caesar the things which are Caesar's. Amen. And let me just add this real quick. That's not part of the message, but we in particular as Christians should not be one to try and avoid taxes. Now, I'm not telling you that I agree with everything that is being done with our taxes. I'm just telling you that according to the Word of God, it's what God told us to do. Right. So we shouldn't live and conduct our lives in a way that would avoid that. Right. Now, that's not, again, really part for today. But what my point is that Caesar Augustus' agenda was to collect taxes. He could have easily went by to worship the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And he himself may have been proclaimed a king or a person of authority. But why didn't he go by and offer praise and worship and offering gifts for the Lord, our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ? He could have been there. But you know, friend, he had his own agenda. There was another group of people there. Notice it says all went to be taxed. In other words, it was custom in that time that you would go back to your hometown to be taxed and pay your taxes. That's the way that they tracked things in that day and that time. What about all those other people that came into Bethlehem? Can you think about how busy Bethlehem probably was and people that are coming back to their hometown after not being there maybe all year, maybe years, I don't know. This could have been the first time that this was established at this point for all we are aware of. But what I do know is that there was a lot of people coming back to their hometown. And so why were they there? Well, the Bible says they were there to be taxed. Joseph went to Bethlehem to pay his taxes. So there was a lot of people besides just the king whose agenda was let's collect taxes, but there was a great number of people that were even in the same town where Jesus was born that could have went to go see Jesus, that could have went to go worship, that could have went to offer something to Christ, but didn't. And church, that reminds me is that just because you're in church doesn't mean you're worshiping.
Preach that.
Just because you're here doesn't mean you're offering to the Lord what you should be offering to the Lord. And oftentimes the reason we are not able to do that, oftentimes the reason we won't do that is because we got our own agenda going. Just like the king, just like the people that were there. And friend, there's a great number of people that were missing in that day that could have been doing something for the cause of Christ or for Christ, just like there's a great number of people here today. And I'm not necessarily talking about even in this church. I'm speaking in a general sense, but people across churches, across America, and in our country that could be doing something for the cause of Christ, but they're too busy with their own agenda. They're too busy with their own priorities that they can't spend time at the feet of Jesus. You can be in the house of God and not worship, friend. I'm glad that you're here. Praise God that you're here. That's a start to worship. I believe to worship the Lord, you should come to the house of God. You should come to His house. You should come where Jesus is at. Oh, but friend, don't be one of those ones that's missing. That's gone missing from the nativity, from the worship of Christ, from our commitment to the Lord because we got our own agenda. That's the first group of people that were missing. The second group of people that I believe were missing, let's go down in verse number 7. And she brought forth her firstborn son and wrapped him in swaddling clothes and laid him in the manger because there was no room for them in the inn. You know who is present here that as we read the text is obviously an implication of a person here? An innkeeper. There was an innkeeper here that obviously had to tell them that there was no room. There was an innkeeper here that said, you know what, you can't stay here, but you can stay out back in the manger. There's a manger out back where the animals are, or there's a stall, or whatever the case was. You can't stay here, but you can stay over there. You know, he could have done a lot of things. If first of all, if you've seen a pregnant lady with child, just human kindness would have said, you know what, I'll offer up my bed. Mm-hmm. You know, even if you didn't believe that he was the Savior of the world, you could have said, you know, Mary, it looks like you're about to have this baby. Let me at least, at minimal, give you a warm place in my bedroom or in my house or in my home. I don't have a whole lot to offer, but you know what? Maybe I've at least got a couch that you can lay on and have this baby. You know, when I see this innkeeper, I perceive him as being indifferent. I perceive him as making a small gesture of kindness, but no real commitment to the Lord. And what I mean by that, friend, is that he obviously didn't just turn them completely away. I'm glad that he at least offered a manger. He could have done better. He could have offered more, but I'm glad he at least gave that. So he was a little indifferent. He's saying, I can acknowledge with you that you're with child. I can acknowledge that, you know, maybe this is the Savior of the world. And for that reason, let me guide you to a manger where the animals are. Now, we know as today, that's part of the beauty of the story of Christ. But I'm talking about the condition of his heart. God used it anyway. God blessed the situation anyway. And we're blessed by the sight and the presence and even in the manner that Christ was born. But friend, there was an indifference in the heart of the innkeeper. He said, I'll be a little kind. I'll do the bare minimum. Are you with me? I'll do the bare minimum, but I'm not going to make a real sacrifice for the Lord. He was indifferent, friend, in his heart. He didn't completely shut out Christ. He didn't completely shut out the Lord, but he wasn't willing to make a real sacrifice for the cause of Christ. And thus, because of that, friend, he was missing from the nativity. See, I don't see in the scripture later on where it says that the innkeeper went by to check on them. I don't see later on in the scripture where it says the innkeeper went by to see if they needed anything. Maybe he was the one who gave the swaddling clothes. I don't know. But if you know someone in that kind of condition, if you know somebody who's in great need and you offer them something, wouldn't, again, human kindness or common courtesy go by and say, is everything okay? Do you need anything else? You see, friend, there's a lot of people in the world today that are indifferent about their commitment to the Lord Jesus Christ. They do the bare minimum. They do enough of what's required of them, but they're not making any real sacrifice for the cause of Christ. They were missing from the nativity. What we have seen so far this morning, church, is those that are not at the nativity because they're so focused on their own agenda. There's those that are not at the nativity because they are indifferent and no real commitment. And thirdly, and before we get to that, but let me share with you, there's those that heard it but ignored it. But before we get there, go with me to verse 10. And the angel said unto them, talking about the shepherds, by the way, talking to the shepherds. The angel said unto them, fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. Do you realize that at this point in time in history, church, there's not been any greater news that's ever been brought to the history of mankind?
Yes, sir.
The fact that it was proclaimed that Jesus, the Savior of the world, was born is the greatest news, the greatest tidings that has ever been given in the history of mankind. And I've gotten phone calls before and said, Pastor, we have a brand new baby boy. We have a brand new baby girl. Or, hey, praise God, the surgery went well. Our family was healed. And Pastor, let me tell you what God did. But never in the history of time has a greater proclamation been made that a Savior was born for all of humanity, the Savior of the world.
Amen.
Now we're talking about Jesus, in case you're confused today, friend.
Amen.
He brought great tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. Friend, that's that all-inclusive part. You know, when I read, when I see all people, I see you in there, Roger. I see you in there, Kyler. Brother Mike, I see you in there. We're part of that all people. I look in the mirror and I see me in there, dear friends. That news was brought to you and I. The Bible says, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Oh, friend, if you're here today and you're wondering, is Jesus for me, friend? Right there is evidence from the Word of God that He's for you. And by the way, the devil is against you. Do you realize that you can almost look at it in a spiritual sense, kind of like a vote? Jesus came down and voted for you. The devil votes against you. Do you want to know who cast the deciding vote? You do. You do. Jesus voted for you. The devil voted against you, and you're the one who cast the deciding vote on what you will do with Jesus. But I'm telling you today, friend, the greatest message that I have ever heard, the greatest message that I have ever seen in the Word of God, Jesus came down.
Amen.
To be the Savior of the world.
Thank you. Amen.
Verse number 12, and this shall be a sign unto you. Ye shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. And suddenly there was with the angel, a multitude of heavenly hosts praising God and saying, glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men.
Amen.
And it came to pass, as the angels were gone away from them into heaven, the shepherds said one to another, that was a good message, but I just don't have time. That was a convicting message, but I just don't think it's for me. That was a very compelling message, but that's for somebody else. Church, that's not what they said.
Nope.
Remember, sometimes you're blessed by what's not there. Sometimes you're troubled by what's not there. But in this particular passage, after they heard the greatest message that has ever been proclaimed to mankind, let us go now even unto Bethlehem and see the thing which has come to pass, which the Lord hath made known unto us.
Amen.
You know what that means? That God revealed something to them. God revealed to them that a Savior has been born. And their response to that wasn't a response of hesitation or procrastination or delay or excuses or I'm busy watching the sheep, I don't got time for this. No, their message was, let's go by. Let's go by and see Jesus. Let's go by and worship Him. I don't know if they brought gifts. The Bible doesn't mention that they did or not. But they were more concerned about going to see Him. They were going want to go by Jesus' lay and offer their praise and worship and glory to a Savior that had been born. You see, friend, that should be our response when we hear a message from God. When we hear something from the Lord, our response ought to be, boy, that's of God. That's of the Lord. I'm going to go by and worship God. I'm going to go by and do something for the cause of Christ. And I don't even know what I can do. And I'm not worth very much, but Lord, here I am.
That's right.
And that's what they did. Verse 16. And they came with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in a manger. Before I read on, let me say this, church. We sing that song, Away in a Manger. You don't realize how true that statement is. There is a way in the manger.
That's right.
Because Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me.
Amen.
So there was a way. So when you say away in the manger, I know that's not grammatically what it says, but spiritually I'm telling you there is a way in the manger through the Lord Jesus Christ. But verse 17 says, and when they had seen it, they made known abroad the saying which was told to them concerning the child. You know what that means? That means that they got a great message and they told others about it. They shared it with other people. We're in our chapter in our discipleship class dealing with the witness of the believer. And for the record, God has called us all to be witnesses. God has given to each and every one of us the responsibility. We may not all be preachers, but we are all reachers for the cause of Christ. And in the simplest term, the word preach simply means to proclaim. And every single one of us here has a duty to proclaim the gospel. You don't have to be in the house of God to proclaim the gospel. You can proclaim the gospel when you're out Christmas caroling. You can proclaim the gospel when you go out to dinner and you see that server or that waitress and say, you know what, let me give you something. A preacher one time said it this way, that I'm just a beggar telling other beggars where to find bread. You see, Jesus said, I am the bread of life. And by the way, that bread is everlasting. It doesn't run out. There's plenty for you and there's plenty for me. But what I'm trying to tell you, friend, is that sometimes we need to get back to that simple principle of being soul conscious. I remember one time I was sharing with our class this morning. We had stopped by a McDonald's there in Lebanon Junction, Kentucky. My family was in the car. I went in to get something. I don't even remember what I got. I was third in line. There was a fellow in front of me and a guy in front of him. And the guy that was in the front had ordered two cheeseburgers and a small drink. His total was only about $3 and some change. Not very much. It was for him and his wife to share. And I'll never forget that day, church, because he was trying to run his debit card or credit card. I don't know what he had exactly, but he was trying to run his card. And it wouldn't go through. Then he tried it again, and it wouldn't go through. And he tried it four or five times, and what troubled me is the guy in front of me and the guy behind me were just sighing and acted annoyed by what was transpiring in front of them. And even the cashier was like, do you have another card? And obviously he does not have another card because he would have tried it already. I finally, in feeling for this guy, jumped up in front of the line and swiped my card. It wasn't much. But I felt the embarrassment of this man. I felt the need of this man. And this man doesn't even realize that what he got after that was more than what he needed in that particular moment, and that was a meal. I don't care about the $3, church. But what helped was after he went and sat down, he said, "Thank you so much." I said, "You don't have to thank me, but would you read this?" See, now the gospel is more effective because we were able to show some compassion. And friend, you know what is missing today from our lives? You know what's missing today from the Christmas season? You know what's missing in our commitment to the Lord? Is we're so busy with events. We're so busy with plans. We're so busy with shopping. We're so busy with preparations that we forget what it's really all about.
Amen. That's right.
God help us. God help us. These shepherds heard the greatest message they had ever heard in their life. And they said, "You know what? We should tell people about this message." You know what, church? You have received the greatest message ever. You have heard the greatest story ever told.
That's right.
And if you really want to honor God, you should tell people about it. Amen. Verse number 18. "And all they that heard it wondered at those things which were told them." By who? By the shepherds. Now, what's troubling to me is that they heard it, but didn't apply it. You know who else is missing from the nativity? Those who hear it, but don't apply it. They agree that we should worship Christ. They agree that we should be faithful to the Lord. They agree that we should be daily in the Word of God. They agree that we should have a faithful prayer life. They agree that we should be witnesses. They don't disagree. They just don't apply it. I heard somebody one time say, "Well, Pastor, people would do right if they knew what was right." I wish that were true. People hear what's right all the time. They don't do it. The Bible does say in Hosea, "My people are destroyed for lack of knowledge." And that is true. Somebody's got to tell them. But what do you do with it after you're told? The Bible says that they heard it and wondered at those things which were told them by the shepherds. It doesn't say that they said, "Hey, you know what? Let's go with them down to Bethlehem. You know, let's just all gather together. Let's all go caravan. Let's go down and see this Jesus that they just told me about." It's not what happened. They thought about it. They wondered it. They pondered it. Maybe they considered it. Oh, but they already had plans that night. People that are missing from the nativity, those who are focused on their own agenda, those that are indifferent, but there's no real commitment, those that heard it but ignored it. And the last thought that I'm going to share with you, those that are missing from the nativity, is those that are only there for special occasions. Go down to verse 21. "And when 8 days were accomplished for the circumcising of this child, his name was called Jesus, which was so named of the angel before he was conceived in the womb. And when the days of her purification according to the law of Moses were accomplished, they brought him to Jerusalem to present him to the Lord." Now, there would have been a lot of people show up for this event to make sure that Mary and Joseph were following the tradition. And I'm not even saying that it's a bad tradition. This was what was customary. This was passed down from Moses. This is a Jewish custom that on the eighth day, a male child was to be taken to the temple to be circumcised. There was a lot of people that showed up that day. They wanted to make sure that Mary and Joseph were following the letter of the law. Oh, but they weren't there when Jesus was born. They didn't bother to show up at the nativity. They bothered to show up and make sure, oh, let's just go by and witness. Let's make sure that they're doing with Jesus what they're supposed to be doing. You know what I've come to find out about this particular group of people? They're often the ones that sit back and complain about everything, but don't actually help do anything. They have a lot of comments. They have a lot of opinions. They don't actually help get anything done. So do people like that exist, Pastor? Unfortunately, they do. They're not really worshiping. There's no real commitment on their part. In fact, the only time you hear anything from them, we need to talk after service. Now, if you have said that to me, that doesn't mean that it's bad. I'm just saying that there's some people, that's all they say. And a lot of times, when you hear something like that, there's a good chance that it's not good. Because they usually want to complain about something, or they say, hey, we're leaving, or we're doing things. Listen, I've been in ministry long enough. There's some people that only show up when it's convenient. Or show up when they need something. My point in saying that, church, is not to bring a negative aspect, but just to encourage you and challenge you not to be that way. You be faithful to the Lord. The most basic duty that you can do, the Bible says that it is required in stewards that a man be found faithful. Everybody here is capable of being faithful to the Lord. It does not take a special talent. I don't believe it's even a special gift. It's just a determination and a personal decision in your life. Say, you know what? I'm going to be faithful. I'm not just going to show up when it's convenient for me. I'm not just going to show up during the special occasions. I'm not just going to speak up when I want to say something but not contribute. Friend, that's this group of people here. This is the religious group, by the way. If you notice the context of the scripture, this is the religious group. They show up for the special occasions. They show up when it's convenient for them. There's no real commitment. There's no real dedication to our Lord. There's no real worship. They weren't there to worship. I could probably accept this group a little bit better if they had been there when Jesus was born, if they had been there to go by and worship, and then they went by to the church service where Jesus was essentially offered back to the Lord, if you will, or dedicated back to the Lord, however you want to call it, that would be a blessing. I think that would be great. They were there for the whole thing. They were there to worship Christ. They were there to offer something to the Lord, but then they showed up later on too. That would be great. But unfortunately, we don't always see that. You know, church, there's some things missing in our worship. There's some things missing in what we're offering to the Lord. There's some things missing in our commitment. There's some things missing in our personal lives, in our witness, in our study. Friend, our concern today is what's missing. I'm thankful for who was there. I'm thankful Mary and Joseph were there. That's his parents. I'm thankful the shepherds were there. I'm thankful later on the wise men showed up. And for the record, wise men still seek Jesus. Amen. I'm thankful for the ones that did go by. There was probably ones that did show up that weren't mentioned. I'm thankful for those. But I'm concerned about what's missing and who is missing at the nativity of Christ. Let's all stand to our feet, every head bowed, every eye closed. What's missing, friend, concerning your relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ? Listen, Christian, can I just ask you today, if God spoke to your heart, Would you come down to the altar? And would you make a decision for the Lord? Would you come tonight, or this morning, I should say, say, God, I've been holding some things back. Would you come this morning and say, Lord, I've got some things to offer you. Maybe I haven't been the kind of witness that I should have been. Maybe I haven't been faithful as I should have been. Maybe I've not been in the Word as I should have been. Maybe I haven't been giving as I should have been. There's some things missing. Would you come and do business with God today? You see, friend, the further we go along, our level of commitment and personal spiritual growth should get better and closer to the Lord, not less. Now, sometimes the things that we do change, but it does not change our commitment to Christ. It should. It should only increase. Some have already come to pray. Would you come? Would you come and make a decision for the Lord? Not for me, not for anyone else. Come make a decision for the Lord. Say, God, would you reveal in me what you would have me to do? God, would you reveal in me things that are missing? Folks are still coming to pray. I want to tell you right now, I believe God's speaking to hearts this morning. So He's not speaking to mine. That's all right. Let Him speak to those that allow themselves to be spoken to. Because to be honest with you, friend, if God's not speaking to your heart about something this morning, there is probably something wrong. And I say that in the most loving way. If God not spoke to your heart this morning about something, something is wrong. You can't come and read in the Scriptures about the greatest message ever proclaimed. I'm not talking about what I said. I'm talking about what we read in the Scriptures. You can't come to the house of God and hear the greatest message ever proclaimed and God not speak to you about that. God not motivate you about that. God not stir you up about that. How about you, friend? Folks are still praying. Maybe you're here today. You're like, Pastor, I've never trusted Christ as my personal Savior. Every head bowed, everybody, nobody looking around, please. For just a moment. Say, Pastor, if I was to die today, I'm not sure I'm going to heaven when I die. Would you pray for me? Pastor, pray for me. I'm not sure I'm going to heaven when I die. Would you just slip it up and put it back down? With nobody looking around, I'm just going to pray for you, friend. Would you slip up your hand and put it back down and say, Pastor, I'm not sure I'm going to heaven when I die. Thank you, I see that hand. Anybody else? Pastor, I'm not sure I'm going to heaven when I die. Pray for me. I don't know that I've received the greatest gift of all, the gift of salvation. Anybody at all? Anybody else? I'm going to pray. Let's pray. Father, we thank you again for allowing us to be in your house today. God, I pray that you would give us a burden for souls. Lord, it's heavy upon my heart. God, there's people in this community and the communities that we live in that are dying without you. Oh, Lord, help us to do our part to reach them for your glory. God, help us to not rest. Lord, let us have that desire that was spoken of by the Apostle Paul saying, Brethren, my heart's desire and prayer for Israel is that they might be saved. Lord, he had such a deep passion for souls. He was willing himself to be accursed from you so that his kinsmen could come to know you as their personal Savior. But Lord, we can't do that. We can't save them, but you can. I pray that you'd give us a burden for souls. I pray that you give us a passion. Lord, I pray that you would, Lord, increase our level of commitment, what we offer you. I pray that you would help us to grow spiritually. Lord, I pray that we not let the devil come in, and Lord, let pride come in the way, as we spoke about last Sunday night. Oh, Father, there's too many souls weighing in the balance. There's too many people that need to hear the Word of God proclaimed. There's too many people that need this church to stand strong. Lord, I pray that you be with those here today. I don't know what each and every individual need is, but you do. I pray that you speak to their hearts. Lord, there was one that lifted their hands. Maybe they're confused about salvation. We know that they're young, but I pray that you give them understanding. Lord, let them have peace and let them get that settled in their heart. Father, I pray that you be with us as we go home and go our separate ways. Thank you, Lord, for coming down to this earth to pay the ultimate sacrifice for our sin. Thank you for shedding your blood for our atonement. These things we pray and ask in Jesus' name. Amen. Real quick, church, before we are dismissed, do ask if you can, please be back tonight. Got a message that we've been working on for about 2 weeks now. Been working on it for about 2 weeks now. And we need you here tonight, church. If you can make it back tonight, please be here tonight. And just pray that the Lord will use it to help all of us to be better Christians. So come back tonight. In fact, there's probably a portion, Brother Dana, that I'm going to ask the live feed to even be turned off. So just come back tonight and see what God has in store for us. All right. Thank you, church. God bless you. You're dismissed.